This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Saturday, May 16th, 2020. I'm Caleb Brown. Travel bans, at least at this point, aren't going to do much to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Nonetheless, the Trump administration persists. The rationale, at least for the time being, has changed, though. Now it's jobs. That rationale doesn't hold much weight either. Most categories of skilled workers are being prevented from immigrating right now. Cato's David Beer discusses travel and immigration restrictions in the wake of this outbreak.
The Trump administration has made a huge deal out of the fact that it, you know, in its own words, decisively took action to prevent certain nationalities from traveling to the United States. And yet we've seen massive amounts of travel from elsewhere, of areas that have been, that were early on affected by coronavirus. In fact, travel to the United States extensively. So what do we know about that now?
Well, you're looking at the numbers of airport admissions recorded by the government. As of April 7th, nearly 10.7 million entries at U.S. airports originated from countries with confirmed COVID-19 cases. So basically, the travel bans, the restrictions, everything the Trump administration did was so late that it could not possibly have made any difference in the ultimate outcomes. You know, our research has shown that the government waited on average, more than 2.5 weeks after a country had a confirmed case to impose any restrictions. And for more than 24 countries, it waited a month or more. And in fact, 3 times it waited 2 months or more. So really, you know, the amount of time, the number of entries that had occurred, it was inevitable that the disease would be transmitted. So the idea that these restrictions were imposed very early on, you know, ahead of the curve, so to speak, was just not accurate. It's still not accurate. And even after the restrictions were put in place, travel has continued because the travel restrictions don't affect U.S. citizens or permanent residents of the United States. And so we've seen travel continue even after the restrictions were imposed. And so the epidemiological research that has been conducted, the modeling, basically everything shows that if you have any travel at all between an outbreak zone and an area that's unaffected, you're going to have disease transmission eventually. In fact, the research is pretty unanimous that it's within a 2-week period of time where you will have a transmission occur. So all of these bans took effect after the disease had already seeded in the United States. And in fact, many of them occurred after the United States was already the leader in the world for COVID-19 cases. So really no effect, never had a chance of having an effect. So I don't understand why the president keeps bringing it up as if it was such a key victory in the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic.
In your view, would travel restrictions have made sense if undertaken earlier?
Oh, absolutely. In the first early days when China first announced that they had this epidemic, you know, they weren't sure what it was. It absolutely would have made sense December 31st, 2019 to have restricted travel from China until we understood more. You know, that's really consistent with the, you know, the research that had been done before, that you want to do a travel restriction very early on to prevent the transmission of the disease for as long as you can to put in place effective deterrent measures. Obviously, we're never going to prevent all U.S. citizens from being able to travel back from China. That was never an option. So there was always going to be transmission eventually that occurred. The question was, could we delay that transmission for a couple weeks in order to get everything in order on the ground in the United States to prepare for the pandemic? Other countries did that. They put in place procedures for testing and tracing and screening at airports. everything that you would want to have on the ground game in terms of preventing transmission within the country. Taiwan, on December 31st, the day that China announced this epidemic, they imposed screening at airports. They started, researching how people were coming in. They didn't ban all travel, but they did start getting their ducks in a row for how to respond to this and prevent it from becoming epidemic in their own country. That was effective measures. The U.S. did not. The U.S. basically said, we're not going to ban travel. They didn't ban travel for more than a month in the case of China until February. Once they banned travel, the Trump administration basically said, we're in the clear. We don't need to take further measures to prevent an epidemic in the United States. And, that basically led to where we are today, where, the epidemic is everywhere and many of the responses by the government were delayed or ineffective.
So the Trump administration has pursued other restrictions, specifically on immigration for people who are seeking to come to the United States on certain visas. What have they done so far?
Started with a ban on entry for most non-U.S. citizens who are not legal permanent residents from China. They expanded that to Europe and Ireland and Britain in mid-March. And then towards the end of March, they said, we're not going to issue any new visas or very selectively issue visas worldwide. So basically, if you didn't already have permission to travel to the United States prior to March 20th, you were not able to travel here. So basically, that was a worldwide restriction on travel to the United States that affected every country. And it's led to an enormous, unprecedented reduction in travel to this country. Non-U.S. citizen travel is down 98% from where it was in March. So just from early March. So basically, we've almost reduced the amount of air travel to a level that we have never seen basically since World War II would be the last time where you had a comparable reduction in international travel. And, it really has not had the effect that the government was hoping for because some travel can still occur. Plus, we've already had the epidemic here circulating quite wildly.
So in terms of the people who are prevented from coming to the United States for work, what are the categories that are being prevented from arriving?
Really, it's everyone but farm workers are being affected by this. We've created some waivers for farm workers who are coming in from Mexico, but and a few other countries. But beyond that, we're talking about the highest skilled workers are the main group being affected. So you're talking about computer programmers, you're talking about pharmaceutical researchers, you're talking about every other category except for physicians and nurses who a few weeks later the administration has said we'll give a waiver to them and allow them to come. But for most categories of skilled workers, accountants, finance people, all of those categories are being restricted.
So because the White House had its preferences made clear before the election of 2016, that is to restrict immigration broadly, how likely is it that you expect these prohibitions to remain in place?
They've already said that they're going to maintain the restrictions after the pandemic in some level. It probably won't be quite as severe as a 98% reduction in travel. A lot of that reduction in travel is just people's fear of the virus, of course, but these other restrictions on visa issuances for everyone, probably some of those will be lifted, but they've already said we're going to continue restricting this even after the pandemic is over because we want to protect jobs for U.S. workers. And so we don't want to invite any more foreigners into the country when unemployment is high.
So this is a discussion that I'm sure you may be tired of having, but anytime we hear this claim that there are jobs in the United States that need to be filled, when this pandemic subsides, let's give first option to Americans to take those jobs. Tell us why that is a problematic claim.
Well, it's just ridiculous. When you're talking about the types of jobs that immigrants are doing, particularly these farm jobs, just to use one example, I mean, even during the last recession where unemployment was so high for years, and that's not going to be the case here, we'll have a quick recovery once the virus subsides. But even in that case, hardly any, 95% of the jobs offered under the H-2A program, which is the guest worker program for farm workers, were taken by the farm workers from Mexico, even though they were offered to unemployed Americans first. So you had hundreds of thousands of unemployed North Carolinians, and just to use one example, in 2011, only 7 of those hundreds of thousands of workers actually took the job that was offered to them and stuck it out throughout the entire growing season in 2011, whereas more than 6,000 Mexicans were willing to do the job and stick it out to the end of the season. So there's just not the types of supply of U.S. workers in many of these positions, even during unemployment, when unemployment is high. And to be clear, the number of requests for foreign workers will decline. When unemployment goes up, the amount of immigration goes down. It's just a natural market response. So there will be less demand for foreign workers during the coming days.
David Beer is an immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute. We spoke this week. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.